Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a no podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
I don't remember exactly what we said last podcast, but it was like we were talking about Willy Wonka for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then it was about how awful if all four old people in one bed and peeing their bed, and then Steve Simone goes, that would be the worst thing to say to a girl. Your pussy smells like Grandpa Joe's bed sheets. Grandpa Joe's socks. And when you think about it,
it's absolutely true. Four old people stuck in a bed for months and months. Our guest is Steve Simone.
Hey guys.
Who great comic.
Oh, the best.
Great friend.
You might be one of those guys too that's like, you know when people say the comic's comic?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, where it's absolutely. Just like everybody likes to watch him, everybody likes him.
Yeah.
Steve, you're
one of those
you
guys.
You also can't take a fucking compliment.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's weird as people, comics, or we go on stage looking for the laugh. That's what we need to like legitimize ourselves. But then when we're off stage and that part's not happening, it is weird to take a compliment. It
you
is
know
strange.
What I kind of think, because I have, for whatever reason, some of my friends, they're like either comedians or I know some guys that are like fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very similar thing. Like they go into a boxing ring or to like the octagon or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And they're beasts.
Yeah.
But then they get it all out of their system.
And they're the nicest, calmest guys.
Exactly.
I know a couple MMA guys myself.
Right?
And they're the exact. And just they have that discipline that says, okay, here it's okay.
Yes.
Here in the octagon, it's okay. So, you know, not to say we're like MMA fighters or anything, ladies and gentlemen, but
you might be with that fucking blonde haircut.
Yeah.
Dude, you do look
Woo!
Like. Dude, that's badass.
Yo, Brad did that for the Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball outfit for Halloween. But guess what? He has fucking like taken care of it and gone back to brown hair Brad.
No, I'm keeping it. I got frosted tips right now. I look like I should be in midget MMA.
Can I be honest? You look like if you like I feel like I want to buy ice cream from you. I don't know why. Like that.
Do you know what's crazy?
I look like a molester.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
I got stuck in
but
traffic.
A cool molester.
I was gonna get bring over ice cream sandwiches because I couldn't bring
You want to bring regular sandwiches, yeah.
And I went, can I get to Rock and Roll Ralph's to get these ice cream sandwiches? Because that's one of those gifts that everybody's
dude,
ooh, ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, right. Everyone's like that. Yeah, nobody goes, what the fuck are those? Why'd you bring those over? Get the fuck out of here.
And if they do, you do not need to be friends with that person.
There's a handful, handful of things to gauge how to be friends with somebody. Like, mm-hmm. Or if you would use them or put them as a phone a friend for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. There was a stretch of time in my life where I was like, would I make that person a phone a friend? And that's how I would consider them a great friend.
Wow, that's a great
awesome.
Gauge.
Right?
Could I count on them in a pressure situation
yes.
where I need to make money and they get no benefit from it whatsoever?
Could they tell me what the capital of Istanbul is?
Could they do that? Exactly.
Who is there even a capital of Istanbul?
I don't even know that.
I would Google. I would be a terrible... Yeah, but they know that you're using Google in the phone a friend thing.
Oh, yeah, because they got... Here the click strokes. I'm doing that because I don't have a keyboard, so I'm pounding the table and hoping the mic is picking it up.
Doing some Indian tribal drum. What was there any sort of?
Where's our phone friend? Regis Philbin.
Oh, nice.
Hey.
Nice.
That was culturally insensitive.
But hilarious.
This has been Culturally Insensitive with Brad Williams, Adam Ray, and Steve Simone. We'll be right back.
Steve, so we had you on the podcast once, and we had a great episode, but my computer fucked up. And it wasn't meant to be.
What the silver lining of that is?
What?
We get to hang out again.
Yeah. And you're
absolutely.
A big hanger-outer.
I love it.
You might love comedy, but what comes with comedy more than any comedian I know. And it's refreshing, which is weird to say refreshing because you feel like we should all always be so grateful and excited to do what we do.
Yeah.
But anytime you're around you get a constant reminder of like, oh yeah, this is fucking dope what we do.
It's the greatest.
And why? What is it about stand-up or being in the comedy business that is so...
For me,
yeah.
it feels like... whenever I get to hang out like at a club and I know all my friends are going to be there,
yeah.
It feels like I'm a kid again and it's lunchtime and we're all sitting around the lunch table.
Right.
But the kids around your lunch table are the funniest people in the world.
Because guess Literally. What? Everybody else, our friends who aren't comedians, you don't get to see your friends as much because you have 9-to-5 job. You got a wife. You got kids. You've got the like.
Yeah.
You've started to roll into the routine of what happens when you get older, and you just don't. I mean, in general, when we get older, our friends, you start to lose touch a little bit. But like, that's one of the benefits. You're right, of being a comedian is that like you get to be around.
Absolutely.
And when comics hang out, there's always like no one officially announces it, but there's always some sort of. Can you top this? We start going a little bit into show mode where we're just like, I got to be funny and then I got to top that and I got to be funny.
There's nothing better when that happens naturally.
Yes.
It's not a competition thing. It's just like when somebody takes something funny and it tags it and expands it. And
there
are points where like I've hung out with you or I've hung out with you where I literally couldn't breathe from laughing.
yeah.
Like the best laugh.
Well, I put a plastic bag over your head.
So he couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
You know.
And then I got an erection, which was weird.
Yeah. And then I took a picture of that erection. And I posted it on Tumblr.
I got
6 likes. Which is a lot, because there was a boner picture below that. It only had 3 likes.
There's some like David Carradine fan listening to the podcast going, too soon.
I remember, I mean, I was out here for 2 years trying to do this, and I still didn't think... a normal person, because like, I grew up in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Nobody I knew was in show business. Nobody.
I think that's consistent for most of us, right?
Right. And I remember I was Mitzi Shore's personal assistant, and I'm like...
At the Comedy Store.
Yeah. And like,
Steve, I need you to go to the Ralphs.
I could seriously write a movie about it.
You must... You knew Mitzi like it when she was... Ticking.
Oh yeah, dude.
Mitzi Shore, the founder and creator of the Comedy Store. I mean, the woman,
mother of Pauly Shore, and just I hate
surrogate
that
mother for a lot of people.
Yeah, just a comedy.
She took
tomorrow.
Jim Carrey out of his car, right?
Oh, she would tell me those stories.
Oh my god,
because that was one of the he's one of my guys. Well,
me too.
One of my all time funniest human beings ever.
Dude, she's kind of responsible for him.
She signed his immigration papers.
What?
And he's Canadian. That's right.
He had a sitcom about 10 years before he made it.
Mm-hmm.
He had a sitcom called The Duck Factory. And I remember it because I was a little kid and it was about cartoons. And I remember my grandmother was like, cause like I used to draw all the time when I was a kid. And she was like, Steven, there's a television. She would always tell me when there was a chimp. Cause I wanted a chimp when I was a kid.
Fuck.
Who didn't want a chimp?
She was like, there's a TV show called.
I wanted baseball cards and a dad.
You didn't want
baseball cards.
Baseball cards.
Dude, we could do this whole podcast on baseball cards.
Wow.
One of my favorite things ever.
Yo, what was your favorite pack? What was your favorite brand of pack? And did it have gum or no gum?
I will say this because you're a Seattle guy. I'll tell you about the best pack of cards I ever opened up.
Upper Deck?
Upper
Flair
Deck.
Flair Ultra? Upper Deck.
Upper Deck 89.
You got Griffey's rookie card?
Griffey, first pack of...
Of the summer? Is that what you were about to say?
Yeah.
First pack of the summer?
Because
it was like February. Like that was. Yeah. See, that's what I try to explain. Like, I remember those feelings. And I remember being cold and gray and stinky. And in Philly, there was these stores called Wawa's. And I'd be like, hey, Dad. Do you think the baseball cards are in yet? And that was your first sign of spring.
Yeah, dude.
So
I would ask, and I was a little kid, man. And I'd be like, when are the, and they'd be like, kid, I don't know. And I remember walking in and.
Do you remember the guy who sold you the cards? Because every guy who owned a card shop, for mine, it was a guy named Ron Reed, I think. He was like, he always looked like he was 70, even 10 years after I was there. He just never aged.
Yeah.
He was like fucking Wilford Brimley.
He said, you want some baseball cards and don't get diabetes.
Yeah. And well, coincidentally, he died of diabetes. No, he didn't. I was just trying to go along with the joke. But he knew so much about baseball cards, and he was like the staple of that shop. So
you know what? My first job ever, I was 14 years old, and there was a comic book store me and my brothers used to go to. When I was in third grade, I wrote the guy, we had to write a letter to somebody. And I was like, can I send it to Frank Link at the Comic Universe?
Wait, a letter for what?
Just so we knew how to send letters. We're in third grade.
Yeah, dear so-and-so.
So I was like,
all that jazz.
One to the comic book store? Because I played.
That
so
is
when I was
awesome.
It was the best. And he used to keep it on his register. And then when I was 14 and baseball cards were exploding, that was my – because he was a comic book guy,
yeah.
but he was in the baseball card business as well, and he let me come in and sort of run his baseball card operation at 14.
What the fuck?
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, that was like, remember the movie Little Big League where the kid gets to run the Minnesota Twins? No?
Did you not see? No.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one.
I'm going to put that on Netflix.
Oh, Steve, yeah. check it out, dude. It was, oh my God, are you kidding me? It came out probably 1998, and this kid, his grandpa owns the Twins, dies. The kid's like a baseball fanatic. He's like 12. And in his will, he said, hey, you get the Twins.
It's yeah. Willy Wonka that's with baseball.
That's all I'm going to say and fucking watch it, dude. He's got two best buddies who then there's the whole like he gets pulled from his friends because he's running a team. And they're like, man, you've changed.
It you makes, know what you just hit?
It makes Rookie of the Year look like Air Bud.
You know, but you know what you just hit on? When you guys asked me about what do I like about hanging out or whatever with other comics?
Yeah.
You hit it right there. One of my favorite movies of all time was Stand By Me. Okay,
oh,
I love that movie. That's still, that'll make me cry. Like, I'm not afraid to, I laugh all the time and I cry a lot too. I'm a giant pussy.
Well, hey, hold that thought, Steve, because we got the cast of Stand By in the kitchen coming out to perform scene six.
Jerry O'Connell, what's up, buddy? Hollywood treasure.
Do you remember the end of the movie when Richard Dreyfuss is typing and he goes, I never had friends like I did when I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone? Question mark. And I remember being 12.
Question mark, dot, dot, dot. Yeah. Go see Mr. Howland's Opus. wait.
Oh, God.
That's a great line.
But that's what being a comedian is for me. I feel like I still have friends, 12-year-old friends.
Yeah. Those friends where you just call them up and say, hey, do you want to come over? Yeah. And then you get excited. You're like, I'm going to Tim's house.
Yeah, it's the best.
Dude, that's
you
why.
Get so excited.
Nope. I mean, every adult, that's why when adults even make like stupid mistakes, whether it's like, dude, even like I drunk driving on a certain level is like a shot. Like that's a, I don't know. I'm going to probably get too like deep in here, but like, mm-hmm. I feel like those types of mistakes that we make as adults are, the where you feel like you're invincible as you do as a kid, where you're just like you're thinking so not about the consequences, which is what you do as a kid, right?
Right.
You just kind
So you're saying we drunk drive for the same reason why on Catalina Island I got on rollerblades and said I'm gonna go down this hill and not apply the brake at all.
That sounds like a terrible
idea. Did you get speed wobbles?
Oh, where the ankles just start like trembling like you're a fucking Parkinson's patient.
I thought that was a weird. I thought that was a weird like new candy that kids got high on. Speed wobbles.
Well, I remember.
I tell you what, those crazy kids are under the bleachers doing speed wobbles all day. They got
when
strawberry.
You're a skateboard Lebanon. Going too fast, that happens.
Yeah,
I ate it so many times.
What happened was I went down the hill, crossed the street, and on Catalina Island, there's no cars. There's only golf carts. And a golf cart missed me by like 3 inches. I hopped a curb and then slammed into a fence.
Oh.
And like, I fell down. I'm bleeding. I have splinters from the fence. And I'm laughing hysterically because I'm like, that is the best thing.
Awesome.
And by the way, looking back on that now, if you're one of the houses, if you live in one of the houses and you just look outside your window and a midget on rollerblades just goes, my day is made.
You on rollerblades seems like what every child should see when they wake up before they open their presents on Christmas. It's like a video of you rollerblading down a hill.
I can still, I still rollerblade. I know there's the old joke.
Really?
Well, what's the hardest part about rollerblading? Telling your parents you're gay. You know what? Fuck that. I love rollerblading. I can still go up on my front two wheels. I do tricks.
Wow.
I ramp
you do
up.
Tricks?
Yeah, do tricks. I played roller hockey from age 8 to age 16. I am good on rollerblades, my friends.
Wow. Dude, that's awesome.
I got skills.
What was your, you said you skateboarded as a kid?
Yeah.
Were you good?
No. But I always got to hang out with the kids that were good.
Fuck yeah.
Because I was always up for laughs.
Yeah. And you saw them do it and you're like, that's really awesome.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Now, would you try to make them laugh because you were bad? Okay. So you were that kid.
Always, yeah.
Class clown or just...
I think...
At what age did you go, making people laugh? Because we've talked about this off air before where you and I both were... big kids, right?
Yeah. I was not fat. I was chubby, and there's a distinction.
There's a big distinction.
Huge distinction.
Yeah, because
Steve's trying to distance himself from Adam Ray right now.
No.
I wasn't a fat kid.
Hey, I'm always quick to say it, too, when people are like, I was a fat kid, too. I'm like, how big were you?
Absolutely.
Was your nickname The Van? No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously, though, because my older brother battled weight. his problem was a little more severe than mine, and it caused much more pain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really have an issue. Maybe because I'm so sensitive to, I remember how mean kids could be.
Oh, the worst.
When people go, oh, I'm such a big nerd, or I used to be a nerd. And I'm like, were you really?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure the kids that I know that are nerds, they keep that shit tucked away because it hurts so bad.
For sure. Right.
You know, and I used to, because it would get a laugh when I would go on stage, go, I was a fat kid, and the audience would be like, oh yeah, they're always funny.
Yeah.
Like it would be like almost like a cheating as a stand-up comic.
Sure.
And now I go, you know what, man? No, I wasn't fat and I was chubby and there was a distinction.
Right.
And I would talk about, and sometimes that's kind of like a bit I'm working on now where I don't want to, it's one of those things where it's like, you don't want to say, oh, I feel your pain. No, I don't.
Right.
Because I know that there was levels and there was differences.
Well, but. it's like when I get done with a show and someone comes up to me and goes, man, what you talk about is amazing because, I mean, I totally relate because I'm 5'2". Really, fucker? 5'2".
Right.
4'4", full adult
Absolutely.
Height.
Yeah.
And you're telling me, I feel your pain. I would suck a dick to be 5'2".
Whoa. Let's get that
soundbite. Do you realize what I would do?
Let's cut that soundbite and put it on the internet.
I would suck a dick.
On repeat.
If the antidote to dwarfism is in a cock, I would go full Texas tornado on that
you
shit.
Know what? And nobody's judging you.
No! I would make it. I was 5'2". Really? Did you ever go back to school shopping and then all the kids showed up with their fancy Bugle Boy shirts and their fancy No Fear shirts and you're walking around with fucking Baby Gap, and I know it's a hack joke, but it's true.
Did you really shop at Baby Gap?
Fuck yes, I did.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my god, I had elastic on all my jeans to fit my fat ass.
Oh, man.
Like it's great that you can. And you know what's awesome about stand up? That
elastic.
Oh, god.
The tailor had to put it in. It didn't come with it.
Wow. Oh, so god. Much pain.
Yeah, it's
Does
real.
Does Gap know what kind of pain they've
I mean,
they
okay.
didn't cause the pain.
You know those Gap commercials that always air? That's because of me. Dude, they are in business because of me.
Why did they never put you in a Baby Gap commercial?
Why not? Like, hey, does your kid need to look fashionable? Does your midget need anything? Come to Baby Gap.
And then somebody goes like, yeah, how old is your kid? And you're like,
he's
25.
He's 25.
Gap.
he has a date tonight, and he wants something that doesn't have Dora the Explorer on it. Can you hook a brother up?
When you recognize that you can make your friends laugh, like what?
Magic.
Right? Like, yeah, and then you mentioned this too, that you had teachers that recognized your...
Yeah.
And they would like put you in situations that were conducive for you to continue to go down the path of like growing into a comedian.
Yeah, I think that's the distinction between class clown and like maybe class comedian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I tried my best to be a good kid.
Okay.
You know, and I wouldn't purposely interrupt. Well, there were times.
Of course, you have to.
Because you're an idiot kid.
Because timing's everything. And if you see a moment to like.
You got
to
go for it.
There was a time when I like saw a moment where a buddy of mine looked over. Three kids were actually looking over my direction. I did the thing where you pull down your bottom lip and then you stick your tongue out so it makes it look like you have giant lips.
Oh, right.
And like. And
that old gag.
Yeah,
I love
and
it.
And so I did
Classic.
That during while my teacher was talking, Mr. Berger, 6'5", rest in peace. And I look over, the three kids looked over, but it was while he was talking, but they were all looking in my direction. So I was like, I got to do it now. So I did the lip thing, even though I knew that he was talking and he was like, I was up in the like second row. So I was close. So he was clearly going to see me, but I had to do it. And then all of a sudden I just hear him stop talking as I'm facing them. And I do a slow turn back to him while I'm still holding the lips. And then he just goes, what are you doing, Mr. Ray? And I kind of like let go of the lips, and I was like, I was making big lips. I was making big lips. It's a big lip gap. And he just goes, cool. Why don't you go out in the hall and think about the whole big lip thing you just did?
Oh, God.
But again, like I had to do it in that moment. So like, not that I was trying to disrupt, but it was like, man, three kids looking. I was like, but audience.
Dude, yeah.
Right. But see, and that's the comic in you from even at that age. Because even now, we go through those times, and I'm sure you guys have been there too, when some friend says something, and you know the joke is going to hurt him. You know it's inappropriate, but you're like, fuck, timing. You knew that was going to happen to you.
Yeah.
You knew you were going to get in trouble.
Yeah,
but it's like, hey, my three friends are looking. If I don't do this big lip move right now, when's the next time?
Yeah, fourth grade is going to be over for me. Yeah, it's either big lip or...
Got to go for it. Got to go. The iron's hot. Yeah.
Wait, so what was the...
You know what's crazy? You know what's fun? Like every once in a while, I'll get like a really good talk with my dad or something, and it'll be like real, and he tells me a story that when I was a baby, my older brother had watched like The Adventures of Tom Sawyer or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I guess, I never, I'm not, I'm such an ignoramus. I'm not well read.
Have you read any of the Bernstein Bears?
You loved it. Bro, I love.
All right, good. Then you're fine.
The then you're fine. You're good. You need all the, you have all
people
the
people like, have you read
you
2001 Space Odyssey? Have you read fucking the, you know, The Chosen, which I had to read, it was required reading, but like The Great Gatsby, again, required reading, had to do it.
Dude,
but,
I read Cliff Notes and rented movies.
For sure.
Done.
Dude, I did book reports on the reading the back of books.
Absolutely.
I would make video book reports for high school. One of them was called Summer of the Monkeys, and all I did was read
Sounds
the back.
Awesome.
Summer of the Monkeys, where a kid went out into the wilderness, made friends with a monkey, and hung out in the fucking jungle with these monkeys. It was basically Tarzan for kids.
Okay. Sounds amazing.
So yeah. I basically read the back and then did a fake show where I had my buddy on, and I and he was the kid who played somebody in Summer of the Monkeys, the movie, and I was the host. And I was like, man, so tell us about the, and we basically just paraphrased the back of the book. He's like, well, you know, I play a character named Ethan, and I spend the summer out in the wilderness, and I meet these monkeys. Just reading, quoting the back of the book. And then I go, let's go to a clip. And we cut to a thing of him opening some bushes, and then he turns around, and he goes, where are the monkeys at? And then it cuts back to me. I go, well, I can't wait to see it, man. And it was just like, all we had, though, was like five sentences, and we summarized the book.
That's
you were the
awesome.
Same way.
Yeah. The best was, I remember in high school, I didn't do this, but like there would be like diorama displays. Like
dioramas, Jesus.
Out in front of like the
Summer of the Monkeys
office.
Takes place in the late 18th century in Oklahoma. It is about a 14-year-old boy named Jay Barry Lee. Who wants a pony and a .22 caliber gun.
He's got his priorities straight.
Desires to purchase them by trapping monkeys and returning them to the circus for a large sum of money. How did you not read that? Yeah, that sounds amazing.
There's not really monkeys in Oklahoma, right?
No.
All right. I was like, so long, guys. I found my true calling.
One way ticket to Oklahoma, please.
Oh, I forgot. That's right. You wanted a chimp.
Always, yeah.
What about... We're getting off track. I want to hear why you wanted a chimp so bad, but we got to come back to what we were just talking about, which was...
In school?
Figure out when you were funny.
Yes.
My dad, he tells a story that...
When you were a baby.
When I was a baby. And my older brother was like, hey, Steve, you could be Becky. And I knew I was a baby, but I knew that was a girl. And he put a hat on my head. And my dad said I was just making eye contact and smiling. And my older brother's like 3 at the time or whatever. He's like a little cute little kid. Yeah. He's like, you'll be my sidekick. You'll be Becky.
Awesome.
And my dad's watching it go down. He was like, I wonder how Steve's going to handle this. And he said, I was just smiling at my older brother. And my older brother couldn't see that my right hand was balling into a fist. And bam, I just blasted him in the face and didn't stop smiling. And my dad said it buckled him with laughter. And he was like, you were born with timing.
Dude, that's amazing.
You were born with timing.
Wow.
And I remember.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Because you smiled. You fucking set it up.
Boom. Three Stooges style.
And then that's misdirection.
Great. Yeah. And then I remember being 3 years old. And my dad had this adding machine. I thought it was the coolest thing ever because you press buttons and paper would come out.
Okay,
and I remember being 3 years old and sneaking out. It felt like the middle of the night. It was probably like 9 o'clock.
I thought you were going to say, I remember being 3 and quoting Paula Poundstone. I was like, and that's when I knew.
That's comedy. When I knew.
All right, so you snuck
and,
out.
And I remember, and I'm killing it, banging all these keys and papers just papers falling. And I hear my dad come down the steps and I see him out of the corner of my eye. And as I'm about to hit the keys, I see him out of the corner of my eye and I go from about to hit the keys and turn around and make it a wave to him. So there was no actual physical evidence. He was like, bro, you had timing.
That's amazing, dude.
And I remember when I was little, I used to get into fights all the time.
Right. Oh, no shit.
Yeah. And then there comes a point where it's like.
You started them or people would.
It was just you were little boys
yourself.
Fight,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, we do. I got in fights over chess games and shit.
All the time.
Oh, sure.
We're monkeys.
Video games.
Little boys are. Yeah. And
we're an island of monkeys, pretty much.
Pretty much. Wow. That's why you should have read that
I'm
book.
I'm going to have to reread it. It probably would change my life.
I didn't concentrate on being funny until I realized I couldn't beat everybody up. And then I was like, oh, it's better to be a sidekick.
For real?
Well, hey, necessity is the mother of invention.
If you can't beat them, join them type thing.
Yeah, you
no,
can fight.
Just keep everybody laughing, keeping everybody cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of those kids that was friends with everybody. I never really fit into a clique, but I was friends with everybody.
Now, the funny people, you're friends with everybody because
everybody wants to laugh.
Now, do you remember like your first like big laugh?
Yeah.
You do?
Mrs. Jeanette's class, third grade. I think maybe I was dyslexic or something and it was undiagnosed or whatever. I had problems with spelling.
Okay.
And it took me forever to learn how to read.
Like, what was the word that just
all of them
stumped
the
you, really?
Words.
Yeah, I was terrible at
English.
Spelling.
English.
Like, and I'm not, like, making a joke, but, like, cat or kitten.
No, three letters. Right. I was good.
All right, good.
But
I like how you're like, dude, I wasn't retarded. I was like, I just some of the bigger words, like, you know, like obsequious
school.
Dude, spelling bees are intense though.
It was a spelling bee.
Okay,
and we're in front of the class, and I was already like, I could already make Mrs. Jeanette laugh, but I had this gift when I was a kid where adults would treat me like I was a grown up, and I would find
why?
Out. I don't know. I love talking to them.
Warm soul. You're a warm soul, Steve Simone.
I used to love sneaking out of bed, like when my parents would have friends come over, and I'd sneak out of bed and sit at the top of the stairs and just listen to grown-ups talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing a movie called Stir Crazy with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder.
Yeah, one of the best comedies
ever. And I remember talking to Mrs. Jeanette about that. She was like, you saw that? And I'm killing it. And
she's like, you're blowing her mind that you're like relating to her.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
So now, like, I knew I was cool with Mrs. Jeanette because, like, when we did the math, I killed it. Actually, with the spelling bee, maybe. I remember doing so well with something in her class that she took me and three other kids to McDonald's. And that was the shit, dude.
Wow. And by the way, something that at the time, it's just like the best thing ever. If that happened now, you know, some parents would like flip out. Like, you took my child.
Yeah.
My child.
Yes.
Outside of school.
Yeah, it's off like, campus. No.
Gluten free.
Yeah. It's like, no, fuck you. No. It's just because when you're a kid, there's nothing better than going to McDonald's. You hear we're going to McDonald's. It's like, I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of now saying you're going to the Playboy Mansion. And it's a teacher going, I'm going to reward these kids. And that's a day that you'll remember forever.
Forever.
But now kids are like, oh, but that does it have sugar free? I can't have sugar.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Take them to McDonald's.
See, it was such a great treat. And I remember the other kids that went, my best friend Jason Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so great.
Any relation to Judy Bloom?
Because the whole fudge series, awesome.
Oh, yeah, standing in front of the classroom.
Yeah.
Was this also your first like something with an audience that wasn't like...
Well, when I was I would love to entertain my parents' friends.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So like
that's a bold move, by the way.
Yeah. Like I remember being four and I had this little tiny shirt that at this, you know, the cool cowboy shirts everybody wears now.
Yeah.
I had one of those when I was four that was too small and I could break out of it.
Hilarious.
Like the Incredible Hulk.
Hilarious.
And I remember,
just come out when they're having coffee and just be like, boom, 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 my parents, buttons don't fit.
My parents had nuns come over.
Oh my God.
And I'm 4 years old, and I'm like, hold on, sister. And I run upstairs, do a quick change.
Hold on, sister, you said?
Yeah.
Was she a black nun? Or?
And I came downstairs and did the Incredible Hulk.
Amazing.
And my mom was mortified.
Of course.
And then the other time, I do remember.
Did the nuns laugh?
Died. Killed.
Yo, I mean, what does that say if you make nuns laugh? There's got to be some, because I feel like they don't have senses of humor.
Oh, bro, I would murder family dinners. And then that's where the sense of humor really got developed, because my dad was a big laugher. And every night at the dinner table, my older brother to this day, I would say is the funniest person I've ever met. Mm-hmm. My older brother.
He's who makes you laugh. Dogs.
Yeah, he kills me. Like, kills me.
Dude, if you have a family, you basically were doing open mics every night through your childhood.
Because
if you have
table.
An audience like that every night, like, because obviously it's all about consistency and like,
you
honing the skill.
My older brother would break balls like Howard Stern, and he would make me and my little brother cry. But that was, and then the dinner table, my dad would always laugh, and then he'd get pissed and literally leave the table. And he would laugh for 15 minutes and look at my mom, can't you control these kids? And then leave. Because he would do a spit take, like a legitimate spit take. Because like we knew when to drop the line in and then spit his drink out.
So like we'd laugh and then like realize like, oh, right, I'm the adult here. I should kind of stop this.
There was I don't know. I just know,
that's
like,
great.
Now that I think about it, my approach to my older brother was the funniest, okay? And he was bigger, and he was older, and he was – that open mic at the dinner table was his realm. So what I had to do is I had to attack with more energy to jump in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like my approach to stand-up at times. Now, my younger brother, he was the youngest. If my older brother's got most of the time, then I'm jumping in and saying what nobody else will say to get the laugh.
Right.
My little brother, one-liners.
He would just
dry and just be like, oh, really? And he could get a bigger laugh out of saying that than me, like, taking my clothes off and, like, doing a truffle shuffle.
Which, by the way, that'll never not kill.
Always kills.
Yeah. Always good. Always good. Yeah, he was the, I call those guys comedy snipers.
Yes! That's the exact term that I use.
Really?
Yes.
Comedy snipers?
One shot, one kill.
Boom.
And very sparing with his bullets, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Just waiting it out. All of a sudden, and
boom.
That's the one that gets the job done.
Yes.
So game changer.
So at what point do you go from,
wait, we got to go back to this, Miss,
Mrs. Jeanette.
Yeah.
So spelling bee. I'm doing well and I have no idea what's happening. I'm like, Z? And they're like, correct. I'm like, holy shit, really?
Just saying letters.
And then you had to go to other classrooms.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, what's up, son?
You were touring.
It was like,
you were a comedy tour.
I was working the road. This is what I remember this moment vividly, though, because she had a sombrero in the corner of the room.
Oh,
and
boy.
I get a word that I don't know.
Okay,
and I needed some more time.
Snuffle up.
So now it's like, boom, boom. And then I was like, I'm going for it. So it's like so serious. And then I just turn, jump, grab the sombrero, and I just start fucking dancing the sombrero and taking out guns. Like, bang, 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 bang.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Gun miming and just like so completely avoiding the word.
Yeah.
Completely avoiding it.
Hoping that you would distract them and they would go, that's right. He probably knows it. On to the next one.
Oh, no, bro. The laughed kids were falling out of their chair.
Dude.
They were like, you're the king. Like, you're wiping king, 8-year-old tears from their eyes.
That's the best.
It was. I probably did fart noises and it like.
Obviously. Dude, shoot fake guns and farting with a sombrero. Yeah.
That would kill now.
Yeah. Dude, now, did you foresee that? When you were like, the moment in between panicking and not knowing the word and seeing the hat and seeing, because for sure you see what you did go down before it happened. When you saw a sombrero, you're like, I'm gonna put that on. I'm gonna do this. It's gonna crush. Like, what's going through your head?
It's gonna crush.
Like, watch as you're going over to get it, like, do you just not even think twice about it? Or are you like,
think twice?
Yeah.
I was just like,
so you were committed from the get go. Like, you just, you had these, yeah. Which is a big part of all. Why do you think Will Ferrell is so incredible? Because he fucking commits 120%.
Right.
And he, like, on it, you know, like, to where, even when you bypass the moment of where it's weird, because people eventually just go, oh shit,
this is happening.
Yeah. It's not stopping. And now it's funny. You know?
Yeah.
Cause at first you put that hat on, people are like, what the fuck is he doing?
Right.
And then 2 minutes later, they're like, this is the best thing ever. Cause he's still doing it.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I think there are certain people, like I remember having a teacher by the time I got to high school, my teacher, like I was a really good student. Like it was important to get good grades.
Right.
Cause my parents are both teachers. And then also with the kids, my friends were the smartest kids. They were the best athletes. They were the cool kids. And it was like, okay, you be funny, but you got to, like, you can't be an idiot. Like, everybody's going to, whatever.
So they didn't say, like, you can't be a comedian, but they were like, just make sure you're smart.
I was the kid that teachers, they would let me break. They would let me be funny because they always said I knew when to do it. It wasn't distraction.
Dude, timing. That's huge, man.
Timing.
I feel like I only had like one teacher like that. The rest would kind of scold because they're like, you're distracting what I'm trying to do. Like, this, we're not in class for you to get 3 laughs a period and fuck up my shit. Like, we're here because I'm trying to like teach you guys math.
Like, it was, I did like that awkward age, that's middle school years, 7th grade.
So weird.
Yeah. And
the transition from elementary school, somebody's got a mustache, somebody's fucking.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just like everybody's.
Who are you going to be?
Dude, isn't
that your social circle right now?
Sure. You're trying to figure out, isn't that suck, man? You almost feel like you have to have it figured out in that year.
Yeah, it's terrible. And being cool it's never.
Nobody's cool.
No.
Even the cool kids. Well, I guess. I take that back. The kid who had a mustache and was fucking in 7th grade was cool as shit.
Driving to 8th grade.
Hey, Jesse Mose, wherever you are right now, you're still cool as shit in my book.
Stroke me. You remember Adam Billy Madison? He's just leaning on the car.
Dude, this guy would wear black tank tops and jean shorts and
what was he, a member of the, was a lead singer of Queen?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Yes, he was.
The mustache, black tank top, and jean shorts?
Jesse Mose. How dope of a name. I mean,
that's a cool kid name.
Yeah, it's a cool kid name.
Yeah. It really is.
But you,
That name, they have to say the full name every time. Like, who do you pick first for the basketball team? Jesse Mose.
Well, Mose is like one of the dopest last names ever.
There you go.
Yep.
Done.
So wait, so 7th grade.
I had an incident once. Because getting back, this goes back to like the spelling bee type shit. Spanish kicked my ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like English was tough enough. Now I'm trying to learn how to spell in another language.
Jesus.
Right.
And I was at that age when I started to discover practical joke, like gags. Not I never wanted to be mean with it, but like whoopee cushions, fart spray.
I don't think you can't be mean
poop.
With them. That's why they're gags.
Yeah, like I like
the hand buzzer. Nobody
right.
You don't lose
the
friends over
gum.
That.
It was always just
yo, snapping
laughs.
Gum. Might have been one of the most underrated gags
of all time.
Of all time,
because it yeah. worked. Not some of the time. Every
always.
Time.
Yo, yeah, yeah.
Always
whoopee worked. Cushion was like a you got to have all the fucking the universe has to be on your side
yes.
for the perfect whoopee like you like blowing it up perfectly like the person's ass has to hit it almost like the sweet spot of the bat on a baseball. Like when McGuire connected, he fucking it was either
it's
a
so
double
true.
Or a home run. But dude, like that teacher's ass fucking the cheek hits the like everything just sits on top of it. Boom. Good night.
Done.
You're the king.
Gold.
But so what was your go-to gag?
All right. So I used to have like I don't know
stink bombs.
This particular time, like I remember seeing like comedians. For some reason, I don't know why, but like even at gag shops to this day, they'll hold up a rubber. They would sell rubber chickens.
Yeah, dude.
Which when was that ever funny?
I don't know. I think it goes back to vaudeville. Or
yeah,
something.
It does
something like that. Because yeah. I don't know. Like I've never seen a rubber chicken be funny.
Fuck, I wish
right.
I had one right now.
Like I'm sure there's a picture of me in second grade with the Steve Martin arrow through my head with a rubber
yeah,
chicken
dude,
somewhere.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
But I had this rubber chicken mask. It was a mask. Like it covered mm-hmm. my eyes and my nose, but it was like a chicken.
Okay.
So I'm bombing this test, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's taking the test. So I'm like, fuck it. So I go into my bag and I don't draw any attention to it. Everybody's busy on their test.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the rubber chicken mask on and I'm like, I'm going to fail with no dignity, right? So I'm just taking the test with the rubber chicken mask on. And one kid looks up and then he's just like, like seventh grade. And then everybody yes. starts laughing and Senor Engelbrecht let me have it.
Senor Engelbrecht?
Yeah. And then I remember she had a talk with me after class. She goes, Steven, you're not a bad kid. She was like, please don't take this. I guess they could tell I was like sensitive to it.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
was like, you're not a bad kid.
But?
You're naughty. And there's a difference. She was like, ooh. you're distracting the class.
I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, it made me
you're
feel
naughty?
Terrible.
Yeah, that's like the dad saying I'm disappointed in you. And
that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then I retooled my game, and then by the time I got to like eighth grade, I would snipe comments.
There's mm-hmm. certain adjectives that can crush your confidence, by the way.
Oh,
like
100%.
Like disappointed.
Always. Yeah.
You're naughty. You're a dirty whore. Like yeah. that's there's
the words are very powerful.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Words are powerful.
So yeah, then this teacher scolds you. And then how do you come back from that? Are you it knocked you down for a little bit?
Yeah. Or definitely like, in that class. Like I was.
But guess
like,
what? You get knocked down, you get back up again.
Absolutely.
Who said that?
Chumbawamba.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
What's up with
I
that?
Feel like if we're taking commercials, we would be out on that one.
That was fucking Stockton Malone right there. That was just a no-look pass, and I
talk
got this, mailman. Go!
Boom.
It's over. It's funny, though, because we talked about do you remember your first laugh? I literally remember the point where I got a laugh in school where I thought, holy shit, I think I want to do this. It was Mr. Bruner's science class. Mr. Bruner, we all called him Hitler because he rocked a Hitler mustache.
Oh, my God.
A true Hitler mustache.
All right, well, I guess
and
that's his fault.
Yeah. And
yeah,
he and by the way,
he's got to know that because Hitler, guess what? Hitler probably still had a little bit of a following at that point. like people knew that stash was still attached.
Yeah, it wasn't like second grade where you don't know who Hitler is. This was like eighth grade. We all know who Hitler is, and he's the only one ever to have a Hitler
well,
mustache.
In his defense, Martin Luther King had a little bit of a Hitler stash going. So maybe he was just a big fan of the doctor.
Maybe his dream was to get a Gillette and shave it. I don't know.
I don't know.
But and he was mean.
Yeah,
this guy was.
Well, that didn't help.
What? Right.
Yeah, who knows?
And he hated Jews.
Yeah,
so.
What's this guy doing on weekends?
Yeah, what's
did anybody at the FBI put a tail on him? I mean.
And when I say mean, and I actually found this one kind of funny, but it's terrible. It's terribly mean. He once got eight kids up to the front of the class and said, listen, everyone, children up here, I have to give out an award every year. They don't, they make me do this. I don't like to do this, but
to the dirtiest Jew.
But these all kids, they all get the award for not passing my class. They're all failing
God,
in front of everyone. So this guy is
yeah,
the biggest
I mean,
dick.
You're a mean one.
Dude. Mr. Bruner.
See, now that would be great timing if you knew this was coming and you like saw him doing this and you held up like a My First Sony with that song. like fucking John Cusack,
say anything
style in the back of the room, and you're like, just to taunt him and be like, I see what you're doing, fucking Hitler. You're making us feel like shit.
Yeah. So, and like everyone was quiet in his class because you knew if you talked, he would just get on you and make you feel like shit. So he's talking about like kinetic energy and like earthquakes. And he says, one time in San Francisco, an earthquake happened so strong, the ground opened up, a cow fell in, and then the ground closed back in over the cow. And I raised my hand, and he just looks at me and goes, yes, Bradley? And I go, would that be called ground beef, sir?
Fucking
amazing. Cha-ching!
Murder! Murder! entire class just busts up, and even he, and he never laughed.
Lost it.
He just started laughing and goes, that was a good one, Bradley. I'm like, yes!
Yeah, good, yeah.
I did it!
Just guess what, man? Teachers, that like they want, like, it's fucking, they want some of that, like, in the day. Like, they, you know, because they're also, I mean, I'd say 90% of teachers aren't funny.
Right.
But, like, they know that, like, even at that age, like, comedy's going to help.
Sure.
The people laughing is going to help for the mood of the class, people wanting to learn more, if there's something.
Pay attention, right.
That's why even with, like, sex ed, dude, nobody could keep a straight face during those videos.
Those are the best.
I still can't. If somebody starts talking about sex, I still start laughing.
For sure. Dude, those videos, though, like, and I mean, I remember a buddy of mine and I, I've never seen somebody laugh so hard to this day when the guy, because also the voice sounded like the guy who sung the Grinch theme song. He was like, the penis and the vagina. Like, he was so way too proper about it.
I don't think I ever saw a full one of those videos. I got kicked out
for laughing so hard.
Every time.
At what part?
All
when they showed the vagina.
As soon as fifth grade, first time ever, they separate the boys from the girls.
Mm-hmm.
But
they separate us. I forgot about that.
Yeah. But in fifth grade, there were a lot of kids that weren't mature enough for it. So there was like seven of us.
Fifth grade? We had ours in seventh. When was yours?
Fifth.
Fifth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy
and
shit.
Then in seventh
because
grade.
Because we lost our virginity in sixth. So it was like.
What's happening?
Really?
No, dude. Oh. But you know who did? Jesse Mosaic.
Well played, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Well played. Got to put a body on Adam Ray.
Timing.
Timing's key.
But timing. Dude, yeah, the sex ed stuff blew my mind. He was my first like school. I mean, I think I had a couple of them, but the one where I got kicked out of class was we had to dissect animals. You ever do that in science?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What animals did you dissect?
Frogs.
We did frogs.
Sharks.
We did fish.
Pigs.
We did. Well,
ooh, pigs. No, I didn't do pigs. They were kosher.
I don't think we did.
Not the pigs. All right. The frogs were intense, but the pig, so basically we had partners, right? And somebody had to cut open, somebody had to take notes. And again, I'm just not, I think we're all the same way. Any sort of situation that I wasn't interested in, whether it would be math or group projects, was just a time for me to be like, oh good, teacher's not watching me.
Bam.
Like now I get to do my thing. I'm not focusing on the project at all. I'm just trying to make people laugh. So we're dissecting and somebody's cutting, someone's taking notes, and I stick the pin that they would use to hold down the animals, like
in those little wax tray things.
Yeah. Like you would pin down their paws or whatever, and their face. So I stuck the pin inside the pig's like lip, and then basically as the girl was cutting him, started like, and then I would grab the top of his head and I would like turn his head around and be like, whoa, whoa, hey. And I would use the pin to pull his lip down like he was a fucking ventriloquist, like he was a puppet. I go, what the fuck? I was like, and I made him sit up and look down like when she was cutting him open. I go, and then look back at her. I was like, why are you fucking cutting me open? I was like, who the fuck are you? Like,
Adam, you were Jeff Dunham.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
I'm never going to be funnier than
get
that.
Get out
line.
Of my apartment.
I'm done.
Get out of
good
my
day,
apartment.
Good day, sir.
Good day.
Yeah, dude.
Jeff Dunham.
If Charlie Bucket said that to Wonka before he gave him the factory, he would say, get the fuck out of my factory. That joke's terrible.
You were Jeff Dunham.
Yeah, so and the girl, though, lost it because she got sick. It was like me doing that was making her sick.
Oh,
like
God.
And so she's like, you got to stop doing that. And I was like, you got to stop cutting me open. I was like, I got a family. I was like, I'd be like, Brian, I was like, tell my family, blah, blah, blah. And like, somebody have a phone. And a teacher saw that. Like, she ended up, she lost it. She like started to tear up and had to run out. And so I got in trouble for making her cry. And he was like, why aren't you like studying? And I was like, I was like, hey, man, this pig has he had some things he needed to get off his chest before he really went out.
Yeah,
and he was like,
story.
It's like, Adam, the pig's dead. And I was like, well, yeah, well, you know, with that attitude, for sure he is.
It's like, I remember more vividly that first laugh and how it made me feel and everything about the room, like more than I remember losing my virginity. Yeah. I remember that first laugh because mostly because when we lost the virginity, we were drunk. But
you're drunk, and you're am I supposed to blow this thing up before I put it in?
Please.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's tough, but it, just the vivid memories that those like you remember those just gut laughs, those like belly laughs where you can't breathe.
The best.
Like those are the ones you remember.
You had those with your brother all the time, yeah.
Yeah,
like you. And now, okay, so you. You worked at the Comedy Store for how long?
I worked every job there except right. I was never the main,
which was what?
Main talent coordinator. I was the assistant back Jesus. When Duncan did it.
Who were you facilitating talent wise?
Who was calling?
Who was calling in
for
avails? Yeah,
the guys that are awesome now were like Sebastian when he was getting started.
Sebastian Mascalco, yeah.
Yeah, I think he might be. I mean, dude, he might be the funniest guy in the world right now.
That
yeah.
dude, it could take any crowd too. Any crowd. It could be a rock star crowd that's like hyped up on Red Bull. A college crowd.
Ren Azizi called it when he goes. He's the next Seinfeld because he works completely clean and murders every. Time.
I saw him follow Louis at the store. Louis popped in, did like 25 minutes, all new stuff, packed house, crushed. Didn't really know Sebastian. He goes in. He goes, "Who's next?" Jeff Scott goes, "Sebastian." He goes, "Who?" He goes, "Sebastian." He goes, "Maniscalco." He goes, "Maniscalco." He goes, "Who?" And then Louis goes, he's like, "I don't know who this guy is." And then he goes, "Oh, wait, you know what? I think I have seen him here before." He goes, "You know what? I've seen this guy, and he's actually pretty funny." Yeah, he was very funny when I saw him. But so anyway, give it up for Sebastian Maniscalco. And I'm staying right next to Sebastian in the back, and he's watching. It was a really crazy moment because it was like, I feel like Sebastian is on the same level as Louis.
Absolutely.
Like,
sure.
You know, I mean, success wise, no, because Louis has Emmys and shows, and but that's just the luck of the draw has gone his
absolutely.
Way in the last couple years.
It will
but,
happen for Sebastian.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm watching him watch Louis, like, and kind of not know who he is, and I'm just standing there being like, wow, that's fun. Like, I'm watching, and he kind of like a little smile cracked when he was like, oh, yeah, I've seen this guy. He is very funny. Sebastian goes up there, and because when you see a situation like that, you put yourself into it. Like, how would I handle that if I was watching Louis? Like, would you get insecure and then get up there and then have to maybe, you know, make a joke at Louis for being like, well, I don't know who you are, or whatever? Yeah, how would you handle it? Sebastian just goes up there, shakes his hand like polite, and then just grabs the mic, goes, "Keep it going for Louis C.K." and just goes into his shit and fucking murders. Like, just was like, all right, now it's my time. You saw something great.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm gonna do my thing.
I had one of the best sets of my life. One you know, you remember the magical sets?
Mm-hmm.
I think I have it recorded too.
Oh, awesome.
On my iPhone, where I had to follow Louis.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it was the same sort of thing where he was like, and then because he had never seen me, he had no idea who I was.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, you know what? This is a very difficult club to get a spot.
Yeah.
He's like, so if this kid is working out here, I'm sure he's very funny.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe. And then to hear Louis C.K. say my name. So that was literally the first 8 minutes of I was maybe the best set I've ever had. But but
that honesty, the audience
I
saw
spent
it.
8 minutes talking about how great it was to hear Louis C. You
and
know what I mean?
Right,
like,
there,
what a great night it was.
The audience puts themselves in your position going,
correct.
How would I feel if Louis C.K. just announced me as someone who's really funny? And props to Louis for being a professional, because I've seen some guys go on stage at the Comedy Store. And for those of you who don't know, when you're at the Comedy Store, there's no host that comes up after every comic. It's just one follows another, follow another, follow another. So the comic has to bring up the next comic. You say, "Thank good night. Who's up next?" They tell you who's up next. Most of the time we know each other and we know the credits, but sometimes you don't. And I've seen guys who don't know guys go, "Oh, who's that guy? I don't know who the fuck this guy is.
I would never want to do that to
somebody. But give it up for this guy, whoever he is."
Were they like,
and
they're just mean about it?
Yeah, and it starts the night off shitty. Louis doesn't know who you are, but says, "You know what? He's here at the Comedy Store.
Yep.
You're not a nobody if you're at the Comedy Store. This guy's going to be great. You're going to love him." And when the king blesses you,
yeah,
the audience knows that. And they're like, well, Louis says we should pay attention. Obviously, we should pay attention to the guy. And like you said,
it changes everything.
You got one of the best sets of your life. Not saying it's not because you're talented, because you are.
No, that when somebody that has such a great relationship with an audience where they trust mm-hmm. their opinion so much.
Sure.
For them to say, you know what, give this kid a shot.
Yeah,
that's all you need.
Yeah.
And if he wanted to be a dick and was like, "Why don't you leave? Because I'm not going to," you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, he could be like, "The show's over. Louis C.K.'s leaving the building."
Right. Which I've heard guys do.
Yeah, I know.
It sucks.
Yeah,
it sucks because they kill the show.
I think somebody like Louis, part of the reason why I think he's so cool is that obvious, like, comedians have known who he is for 10, 15 years.
Yeah, he's been a comics
comic
America
forever. America is mm-hmm. just discovered. And I think this process of this game, this hustle that we're in, it's either going to make you a better person or it's going to make you a worse person.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You're not going to leave comedy the same way you entered.
Sure.
Because the struggles are so brutal.
Absolutely.
The highs and lows don't like anything. But uh-huh. I said this one time, that I feel like comedy is the stand-up. Like, doing this as a profession is the best school for life.
Yes,
because like not just because of the endurance you have to have as a human being, like emotionally and physically, like you have to have all things lining up for. But the highs and lows, everybody deals with highs and lows in life. But I feel like there's they get pretty, like, the highs are really high in this, and the lows are. You know, and especially a lot of us are by ourselves or don't have a significant other, or even if you do, you're gone from them for a while.
Yeah.
And
it really is our main relationship in a weird way.
It is, because these people, I mean, like, the audience is almost like you're...
Do you know what I call it? Emotional one-night stands.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where it's
that's why comics don't want to leave the stage sometimes. Right. Like, I know where I'm going home to, but like
a guy
who goes on the road or has a shitty day at the office, goes home, he's got his kids, his wife, whatever, we go home to fucking YouTube clips and Double Dare reruns.
If you're lucky, if it's still on. I was at the first episode ever of Double Dare.
Wait, we're not going any further. Time out.
I just want to say this.
We'll put a pin in that. Come back to that later.
Because getting into what you said, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I think for whatever reason, like, we were talking about our childhoods and getting those laughs.
Yeah.
I never wanted to accept that by being a comedian, I was different from other people. Like, I was just like, no, this is just a job that's so much fun. I just don't mm-hmm. want to work. I don't mind working, but I just don't want to be trapped in and off all that stuff.
There's a piece of that in there.
There's a piece of, but we are different. And
Can I say this? We're better. Good night, everybody.
No, I think we're so damaged. We're so damaged in a sense that I think stand-up comedy is, for me, I get to feel love without the responsibility of love.
Whoa.
Because
when you don't find that at a P.F. Chang's fortune cookie.
Right?
Because, you don't find that from Steve
because there are moments where you're on stage and then the stars align, like, everybody, you feel like you're friends with everybody. When it works best for me is when that stage and that comedy club becomes my living room and I'm 6 years old.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. instead of...
Is the laughter filling a void that, like, from some... like, is that...
I don't know.
Or, I mean, it's not even that's filling a void. It's just added on. You're just craving it. But then, like you say, it's love without the responsibility because we can leave.
Yeah.
At any time.
Yeah.
We can just say, all right. We're
good. It's like we're killing it. Like, you literally are, like, if there's going to be a breakup between you and the audience, it's their fault. You know what I mean? Like, when you kill it,
yeah,
you did your job so well that you just get this love, but you can't get hurt.
And I want to hear more of this emotional sentiment because it's really striking a chord with all of us. But
Double Dare.
Fucking get the Double Dare
grade.
ASAP.
I think
I was
in eighth
grade. Don't be a dick anymore.
They filmed it.
In Florida.
Not originally. Go back and Google that shit.
California?
Philadelphia.
What, Philly?
Fuck.
First episode of Double Dare
Mark
was shot
Summers.
In Philadelphia. Mark Summers.
Wow.
The first episode.
Yes.
And was...
it was a kid named... A kid. There was a local DJ, comedian type guy named... I believe his name was Grover Silcox, and he did crowd warm-up.
Grover Silcox?
Grover or something. I think that was his name. Grover something. But because I talked about what... I was not a strong speller, but I was... one of the nerd kids. Like, I was in, like, that, I don't know.
You could spell physical challenge. You could spell Casio keyboard.
Dude, so I was, because they were afraid to send the general, so all the kids, it was like one of those gifted enrichment programs.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, does anybody want to be a contestant on a game show? And everybody's like, Simone, you got to do it. But then
let me just say something real quick. No, don't, wait, 1 second. Dude, that says so much about you as a kid, Steve. People go, yo, there's a chance for a kid to be on Double Dare, and they go, Simone, you should do it.
Right.
Like, that says so much. You're the fucking, you're the cool kid, you're the funny kid, you're the kid with energy, you're the kid that people want to see. They go, if we could have one person to see what we would want to do.
Gotta be Simone.
They're selfless. They go, we want to see.
And you know what sucks?
We want to enjoy that for us by you doing it for us.
Yeah, because by eighth grade, I was already wearing Hawaiian shirts on Friday.
Holy shit.
Because I wanted Tommy everybody Bahama? To know. I wanted everybody to know I liked the party.
Dude.
Like, you know what's happening this weekend, this guy.
Dude, I fucking love it.
And nothing's going to like the party like a Hawaiian shirt.
Dude, seriously.
That guy means
you know what, though? Like, people see you walking around and, like, they... Oh, dude, that's fucking incredible.
But here's the thing.
Were you into the Beach Boys?
Actually, yeah, because I was into everything California.
Actually, I feel like you can't wear Hawaiian shirts in the eighth grade unless you have a giant fucking Beach Boy fetish.
Well, I wanted to, like, I seen, like, Jesse bad Mose. 80s movies where, like those USA Up All Night movies, and yeah. There was always, like, the funny drunk sidekick guy with a belly.
Yeah, right.
And it was like, well, my beer's empty, and I'm like, I want to be that guy.
Hilarious.
Yeah, that guy always had a great nickname. Always, yes. Like, a one-word
nickname.
The
Sponge.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Sponge. What's up? Hey,
always.
Come say to my buddy Squirrel. Squirrel,
that's
what's going on?
I ran into problems in high school with drinking. Mm-hmm. Like, I, well, not like a chemical dependency thing, but like complete moron, and I'm just very happy to be alive.
You a little Chris Farley in you?
100 I had a Farley complex. Like, if that's a psychological phenomenon.
I want to meet that Steve Simone. I mean, I'm glad that you're like not like that guy anymore, because that's dangerous.
Yeah, it was dangerous.
But in high school,
yeah, up
it's
until
the best.
I was about 30.
Wow.
Yeah, I used to booze hard, and then I was just like, this is not healthy. This is not solving anything.
Were you boozing during the Double Dare days?
No, but I was so self-conscious.
Performance-enhancing drugs?
Yeah.
The only reason why I wanted to booze up, because I just wanted people to like me. Now yeah. I get that out with comedy. Yeah, I get that out on stage. I just wanted to be cool and accepted and have laughs.
It never goes away, man.
No, but I did not pursue the Double Dare thing, because like everybody, so at first they were like, you have to do it, but then everybody's like, this is gonna be stupid, this is gonna suck, and they're like, why are we? Yeah. And then, because little kids shit on everything too,
right. Yeah.
Especially middle school age, like that's the what are you trying to connect with me, what are you, yeah, like when
kids,
you can't like tell an eighth grader to not drink beer, because they're like, whatever, nerd, like,
yeah,
it's an awkward shitty age. And when they announced it in the morning, everybody was like, are you going to do this? And I was like, yeah. And then by lunch, everybody was like, only a nerd would do that. And I'm like, oh, I'm not a nerd. I'm not doing it.
Right. What?
So then they bus us down there, and it was the greatest thing ever.
The
and
energy. I feel like the energy is comparable to like an Oprah taping. Double Dare audiences are basically practicing for going to Chicago in their 30s.
Mark Summers is running around.
So bad. I should have done it. Like, I remember just seeing...
Wait, so you went to the taping?
Went to the taping. They bought our whole class, all the kids that were, they called it triad. It was gifted enrichment for nerd kids.
Nice.
Because I took an IQ test going into sixth grade. Whoa. And my parents never gave me the score because they were afraid it would...
You get a complex?
Yeah.
Was it great?
It was off the charts.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and then I didn't find out until I was like in college. And I was like, you guys should have fucking told me. I would have gone to a better school. I would have done something with my life.
Wait, so why'd you turn down an opportunity to be on Double Dare? You went to the taping, but you said no thanks to grabbing a flag.
Right, because they brought like say 50 nerd kids from the entire middle school, right? Because they figured we'd be better behaved. Like 50 of the kids that were in the gifted, whatever bullshit that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like I think there are kids that somebody says are stupid in seventh grade that are the biggest, brilliant, most.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, just because I'm not saying I'm special is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So we go down there to watch it. They needed audience. So it was like two kids. Four kids from your school will be selected. Two will go on the show. Two are alternates. And the 50 kids load onto a school bus, drive into Center City, Philadelphia, get off JFK Boulevard. It was like at PBS was Channel 12 in Philly, and it was either filmed there or like – I remember it was like right next to like the Museum of Natural Sciences. And we were all there in the audience, and everybody was like, look at these nerds. They're going to look stupid on TV. And then the same kids that were like telling me not to do it and you would have to be a nerd to do it are sitting next to me. They're like, this is the best show ever.
Oh,
and I'm
so
like,
fun.
I could have been on this show, you motherfucker.
Dude, yeah, I could have made memories for all of us.
I could have been a contender.
Yo, what was the guy doing warm-up? What were some of his jokes? Do
I don't
remember?
But I just know that had to be.
Let's put 60 seconds on the clock.
Dude, by the way, he had to have been on some sort of coke.
Who knows?
Dude, because he rattled up. And then Harry, or no, right? Harry, the fucking the PA announcer.
Wait,
put it back into the... Harvey.
That's what
Harvey.
It was.
Oh, Harvey.
Maybe it wasn't Grover. Maybe that's who it was. Harvey somebody.
Yeah, dude, he had the Ted Bundy glasses and the fucking...
Yes! He was doing warm-up. You're right. Dude, that was the guy that was doing it. And I remember even as...
Oh, Harvey was it.
Yeah, and I remember going, even at 13... I remember going, what a shit gig.
What a shit gig,
dude, that's amazing. You knew even at that.
I was like, these kids are, this isn't an audience.
Dude, you looked at a Harvey and go, this guy hates himself.
Oh, yep, even at 13, I'm like,
dude.
Oh, God.
You said, I'm going to be a comedian.
But I'm not going to be an audience warm-up guy. Oh, I've made the mistake. Have you guys ever had to do audience
warm-up? Yes. I got to do it twice. One time sucked, but the second time, I know we've been shitting on it, but the second time I did audience warm up was the most fun I've ever had in show business.
Wow.
Because the show and Steve Simone, this I'm saving this for you. Uh-huh. The show was Hulk Hogan's Wrestling with Celebrities.
No way.
Yeah. It was on Country Music Channel, CMT. Hulk Hogan's Wrestling with Celebrities. It's Hulk Hogan, Bruce the Barber Beefcake, and the Nasty Boys teaching Frank Stallone, Dennis Rodman, and Screech, and Todd Bridges, and the pop star Tiffany how to wrestle.
That's the greatest job ever.
It was so awesome.
Do you met Hulk Hogan?
Not only did I meet Hulk Hogan, okay.
I just wanted a picture of Steve Simone's face right there. I've never seen a human being more impressed with a, with a, oh, that was amazing.
Well, like,
you're no way it couldn't have been any more genuine.
Oh
because you love wrestling. You two might love wrestling more than Hulk Hogan loves wrestling.
We probably do. Yeah.
We do. So I had a wrestling ring that I would like be able to run around in and like keep the audience going. I'm in the middle of a fucking wrestling ring.
That's the best thing you can do in life.
Dude, that's like being a kid. That's like if you like after you went to go buy your baseball cards, the guy was like, "You want to go run around the bases at Yankee Stadium?"
Yeah,
that was it. Because I'm there in the wrestling ring. Now I had my buddy who has trained to be a professional wrestler sit in the third row, start to heckle me.
No way.
During the taking. During the taping.
Oh, I smell what you're cooking now.
And we, yeah, you see what's happening? And I'm like, hey, buddy, you think this is easy? You come on up here.
That's some Andy Kaufman shit.
And he would walk up, and he would grab the mic, and he'd start talking to people and tell some really terrible jokes. And the people would start booing him. Then he had that moment where he'd be like, and then he would just turn and punch me in the face.
Oh, my God. Did the place go crazy?
It just gasped. It was, and then, like he would start stomping me and doing the fake wrestling stomps. And, like, I would totally sell it. And he would hit me with the mic. So it would make that, like, noise over the speakers. And then, all of a sudden, I would start to hulk up. In front of Hulk Hogan.
Oh, my God.
I'm hulking up in front of Hulk Hogan.
Oh, my God.
And I'm getting ready. And I'm impervious to pain. He's punching me. I'm not going down. And then all of a sudden, I do the finger. And then this guy, my buddy Ozzy, he weighs 320 pounds.
What a beast.
He's a big dude. But he knows how to use his body. He's a trained professional wrestler. He's taught me a few things. I'm able to pick him up and body slam him.
No way.
Yes. And the place just
how did anybody follow shit. That?
They couldn't. Oh my. So like I body slam
him. I'm loving this.
I body slam. The place goes ape shit. And then we didn't plan this out, but I'm looking at that top rope. I'm going, fuck it. And I go outside the ring. I start climbing to the top rope. I jump off the top rope.
What?
Frog splash.
Superfly Snuka style.
Dude, yes.
What the Snuka. Fuck did you guys just say to each other?
Exactly.
Frog splash, Superfly Snuka.
Get in the lingo, nerd.
Wow.
I don't know what you nerds were doing. Flash, when
yeah, exactly.
All the
kids. We were watching Saturday Morning Superstar. What the fuck so is wrong with great. You? So I land on my buddy Ozzy, and then there was a guy who was a ref. He jumps in because he sees the timing, and he counts it the whole place. One, two, three.
Do you have that on video somewhere, please?
I don't.
Oh,
but
shame.
Like, for the love of God, the whole place erupted like The Rock just won the fucking title.
Oh,
they're going nuts.
That's better than comedy, right?
Oh, like, when way better.
Here's the thing about pro wrestling: when it works.
Oh yes,
when it works, it is the greatest form of live entertainment imaginable.
Now, what do you mean by when it works? When like the guys when like the fight moves look so real.
Not even that. It's just when they have the crowd.
Clicks,
when you have
just
the
crowd. Like
they're feeding off the crowd just like we are.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you have that crowd in and you're telling the story and they're believing the good guy, and the bad guy, and they want to see that bad guy get hurt, the jubilation that happens.
One of the greatest things. I got to become friends with Roddy Piper.
Right?
It's so similar.
Yeah.
Like you said, you hit the nail on the head with the storytelling in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this parallels between stand up and pro wrestling are staggering.
So, because they won't try, like, if they're feeling it, they'll try maybe moves that they like, aka bits for us that they wouldn't do normally because they're like, I'm feeling it. Like,
that move's
kind of dangerous, but you know what? This crowd's into it. I'm going to give it to them.
Your adrenaline's pumping, and you were only supposed to take three chair shots, but you're like, fuck it, hit me again. Because you just want to hear the crowd go nuts. And after we did that match, they literally had to calm the audience down.
Wow.
For a wrestling tape, they're like, all right, you're too amped up.
That's insane.
They calmed them down, and then Hulk Hogan says into the microphone, "Oh my God, brother, you guys are like a wrecking crew."
Awesome.
And then me and my buddy Ozzy look at this like, "We're the wrecking crew. That's our tag team."
With your hair right now, you do look like my first thought. My honestly, with your hair right now, when I first saw you, because I thought it was shaved like Road Warrior Animal.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh,
what a rush.
Like Hawk.
Yeah, you. If Wright said Fred is still performing, you and him should join forces. Yo, that's amazing that he gave you that nickname. Now, here's my big question. If you're about to feel like, hey, let me get that fourth chair slam, is there a sign? Do you just say, give it to me? Or do you do like one titty flex and that's like a sign to go?
How do you let your opponent know,
like, hey, man, I'm down to do another crazy.
Well, here's what I didn't know. Like when I started to hang out with the legendary Roddy Piper, it's just still.
Is he really a legend?
Yes.
Give me break. Well, it down. What is he in terms of baseball cards?
He might be on the Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling.
Yeah,
he's
shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he's like a Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig.
What?
Dude, yeah,
because
there are only two actual human beings that ever became G.I. Joes. Sergeant Slaughter became a G.I. Joe, and Roddy Piper. They made a G.I. Joe action figure, but he was with Cobra because he was a bad guy.
Wow.
Yeah. So how's that for a life distinction? That's even better than being at the first Double Dare.
Yeah, and he headlined
well,
the first WrestleMania.
Not crazy.
Yeah, well, but like there's only so few wrestlers that pass in, like they go outside of wrestling to where everyone knows who they are, and everyone knows Hulk Hogan, everyone knows Macho Man, The Rock.
Yeah,
and
you have to go outside of wrestling.
Yeah,
and people
know Roddy Piper,
and a lot of those guys that do reach, like there are guys that are very popular pop culture people with wrestling, but Roddy's one of the few guys that's also very well respected for what his actual wrestling skills. Like I didn't realize nobody ever pinned him. Like he would talk about it.
He was only pinned once.
He would be like, "All right, well, if you want to fucking pin me, do it."
Yeah, and that was on
prom
night.
He was legitimate. Like, if MMA was around 30 years ago, he would have been a UFC champion.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love as soon as I start talking about wrestling that I have the guy just going,
now Adam's like,
God.
So.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's interesting, too. I mean,
I was in the heat.
Hello.
According to Jim. Star.
Yeah, no, I mean, for all of us, there's so many things that you have. Like avenues of professions or whatever where you have absolutely no knowledge or information.
Sure.
But I am genuinely curious about. Like every time it comes up, I don't tune out. I just go.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Because it does fascinate me. Because it's not like I've never watched wrestling. Dude, I had a Hulk Hogan doll. I would like one of my buddies that had, growing up, had all of them. Dude, I had the WrestleMania ring. The blue ring with the ropes or whatever. I had a bunch of those. You know what I would do? I only had like two WrestleMania figures, and I would bring in my other toys. Like I would have Ninja Turtles fight Hulk Hogan.
Oh my God!
Awesome. I think I had a He-Man fucking fighting some Ninja Turtles.
Could someone make that show, please? Could someone make Ninja Turtles against Hulk Hogan in an animated show?
I would never
show?
Leave my house if that show was real.
No,
I would just watch that on
Dude,
loop.
And you know what's crazy? I wish I had the audio of my commentating because I was fucking like, what was I saying when I was like, in this corner, the father of Michelangelo, the one who put them in. Contact with the ooze.
Nothing.
Splinter. He loves cheese. He hates traps. Give it up for Spinner. This corner, he loves, you know, fucking lifting weights and beating women. He-Man. You know, or whatever his stats would be.
Did you happen to go to Meltdown Comics about 2 years ago when they had that Ninja Turtle retrospective?
What?
Did I just out myself as a nerd?
No, dude. You added yourself as a bad friend for not telling me about this event.
This
going
was like
down.
2 years ago, right at Meltdown. I used to live like
was
a
it
block
Ron
away.
Ron Paulson?
Who'd, everything.
Who
they had
was
his
the
original,
voice of Raphael?
Yeah, they had the original comic. They had the original contract. They had clay models. They had everything
was
cool.
Kevin, isn't it like Kevin Laird or something? The guy who like wrote the first movie or something?
Yeah, Eastman Laird. Whatever.
Something Laird.
Yeah, something that was in that. It's just so cool.
You know what? But see, and stepping on that. When you say, like, it's so cool about Ninja Turtles and wrestling and stuff, here's a general thing that I've discovered as I've gotten older, is when you – and it kind of relates
herpes
to stand-up, too.
Suck.
It does suck. But when you have something like Ninja Turtles or wrestling or, let's say, a Renaissance fair or a costume party, if you get a group of people together that are all, like, 100% on board, let's go into this and let's give it our all – nothing's better than when everyone's doing it.
I love enthusiasm. Yeah. I love people that are happy to be alive. Like, I've been through the darkness, man. I've lived in LA for 13 years. Like,
sure.
fill your hours worth of horror stories. But the thing is, there's so many great things in life. And when you find something you can celebrate, celebrate the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And enjoy it and focus on the good things.
Yeah. If you want to dress up in a furry and go to
Thing, man, it's not my thing, but I'm glad you found joy.
Dude, totally. I've gotten to that place in the last year, man, where and this car accident, really, that we've talked about the other night, how many we've had. Like,
just so our listeners know, we are lucky to have Adam here.
Yeah, man. Got blasted yesterday, and I can't stop thinking about it.
And you have to realize that I firmly believe this, that is a miracle that you're here, that you're healthy, that should be proof to you that God, I'm not telling people what to believe, God, the universe, energy, something greater than us.
It hasn't told, like, there's been, I'm starting to, like, really, like, I mean, dude, it, like, really, I haven't had something like, I've had one of the bad accidents, like, my sophomore year of high school, where I got lit up and, I mean, T-bone, though, like, straight on by a big truck and a little Chevy Spectrum. This one was even more crazy, and I can't get it out of my head, I don't know how I'm not, like, how I didn't get fucking crushed, man. Like, the impact and everything, so it's like, I mean, today was the first time, and it just happened yesterday, but, like, because you try to just brush it to the side and go, all right, cool, like, I got out of that.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't stop thinking about it. And, like, man, I was getting, like, choked up today, like, randomly, because I was just, like, there's, like, I can't explain why I didn't get, like, with, you know. And but
that's
like,
what you have to do is just focus on the miracle of it all.
For sure. And that's what when you just said about, like, if somebody's into weird shit like that, like, and I was always, like, trying to turn a corner with that anyway, about, like, just not being judgmental. And it's
absolutely.
Like, if somebody goes instead of, like, making fun of it or whatever, and like, you can still have observations about it, because that's
our jobs.
Yes, totally. You have to. But going, cool, man, if that makes you happy, like, I'm big on that now. It's just like, man, like, if I don't get it, but I don't do that. But, dude, if that's what makes you happy, we should all just want, like, everybody to
be. Yeah. Like, I think the easiest thing as an adult is to forget that life's a gift.
Yeah. Because you've been doing it long enough.
Yeah. And you get caught up in the bullshit. Things that just.
And the routine of your stuff.
Matter.
And you don't have you don't have the same way that we all want, like, little validations in comedy to remind us that we're, like, you know, good and whatever. It's like, in life, you don't have enough, like, there's, I mean, you know, obviously there's death and shitty things happening all the time, but something closely connected to you to make you step back and go, fuck.
You take it for granted.
Not that you want those, but, dude, this, I mean, man, I mean, talk about, I don't want, well, maybe it is a life changer, but I definitely, like, I don't know, man.
Well, listen,
but try not to let go of yesterday, like, not to think about it all the time so I can't sleep, but.
Right. I'm going to tell you this. I was listening to the Marc Maron podcast where he's interviewing Johnny Knoxville, which just came out. And literally, they got to the part where he was talking to Knoxville about Ryan Dunn.
Yeah.
And Knoxville's getting choked up. And as I'm listening to that, that's when I get the text from you.
Yeah.
Wow. Saying that you've been in a car accident.
Oh, shit.
And I don't know if you can see my eyes right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They're kind of... they're kind of welding up.
Yeah, dude.
And
you know what's weird?
I'm so happy that you're here.
Oh, thanks, man.
So I'm because I mean my first thought is, who the fuck's gonna book all these great guests on the podcast?
Yeah, dude. And that would be my concern.
Who's gonna remind me about According to Jim?
Yeah,
who's gonna do that?
Who's exactly.
You know what I'm getting better at?
What's
because
that?
Of that moment you had yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I love you guys, and, like, that's not a weird thing. Like, I think you have to tell your friends that you have to celebrate. Like, it's like,
see, but I appreciate that. If you could put your dick away, that'd be great.
Could you put that bag over my head again?
I can only take one of them. I can only have one of the other right now.
Wait, why does your cock smell like Grandpa Joe's socks? Call back.
Oh, that's just call back to two podcasts ago.
I think I brought it all back. Steve Simone, you are a guy where when comics see you, that they see that you're at the club, that you're hanging out, we get a little happier. Because, you know, hey, Simone's here. It's going to be a great night.
You're also, like, you're staying positive. You're still doing it. Like, it's the sticking it out is such a big part of it, because our opportunity is what the one that comes that really, like, takes us up a notch. Nobody knows when that's going to happen.
Right.
And you just hope that you're prepared and in a good place to fucking own it. And, like, you do a good job of consistently staying in a good place. And again, the highs and lows, we all deal with them bad, but, like, you're consistent, man. And you know
what that really comes from? The fact that I have the best friends in the world who are the funniest people in the world. And that's the gift, man. Like, the gift isn't, like, whatever financial win, like, Yeah. Would I like to be a financially responsible adult, not drive a stinky car? Yeah. Sure.
I love, by the way, you use the word stinky three times, by the way. And if you don't think I fucking made note of that, like, because you just don't hear that word too often anymore.
Certain words I just adore.
Dude, stinky, man.
Stinky's a good one.
When was the last time you used the word stinky?
I use it often.
When I was like 9 describing like my mom's fart.
Mom, that was stinky.
Mom, that was a stinky fucking queef or whatever you just did.
Queef?
I knew what a queef was. They taught the sex ed video. The guy was like, sometimes a woman's vagina will queef in the shower.
I would still be laughing right now if I heard that. Still be laughing.
Did they? What were some of the... I gotta feel like the sex video like slipped in a couple things that we weren't supposed to know. Like he was like, and if you lick the clit with your tongue, like honestly, we were like, wait, what?
The guy saw those. Like I literally got kicked out. Kicked out every time.
Every time for laughing so hard.
And then in seventh, like then we had real sex ed where it was like,
can you
a class.
Pull one up now, Brad, real quick before we get
I'll
out of here? Just
laughing.
To see. I'll
try.
Oh, how about hold this on. For a term?
Google sex ed video from 95.
Nocturnal emission.
Oh, wow, dude. And then the definition next to it.
Done. I was on the floor roaring.
That's your fucking trigger. Nocturnal emission. Yeah.
So
which
funny.
Is basically wet dream, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find
nocturnal
one.
Nocturnal emission. Dude, sounds like something you pay to see at the fucking Batcave, like after hours.
Thank you guys for listening. Please, on behalf of Steve Simone, Adam Ray, I'm Brad Williams. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
I'm not dead.
Miracle.
Thanks, buddy.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.